Thank you for joining us at Cultivating Hearts. Once again, we're blessed with these sweet students of Grace and Grant. Laura and Catherine, like I said, Grant, Janelle, Jessica, Miss Tara, myself, Sandy. We have been talking about Jesus and the humble servant and loving servant that he is in the passage, John 13, 1 through 17. And we are just been so blessed with everything that has come out of this. And we hope you've been listening. And today we're going to talk about how Jesus loves us to the end. There's no stopping his love.
I want to read first the verses 13:1. Before the Passover festival, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world to the Father. Having loved his own who were in this world, he loved them to the end. And I want to really zone in and focus in on this real quick. We have to understand Jesus loved his own. And this is the same love he had for all the world, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. But there is a different aspect of love for his own than there are for those that are in the world. His love is the same for all, and that he died for all and is available to all. But because there is a reciprocation on the heart of the own, there's more there, okay? And this, I think, is important for us, especially as we are learning what it means to be a disciple. And Catherine and I just recently were having, it was really funny, Catherine, a conversation. And we were discussing about the tier of discipleship that Jesus had, okay? And I drew out for her, and if anybody emails me at tararye.com, I'd be more than happy to send this out to you. But in a triangle, the first one is Jesus had his beloved, and then he had his three. The beloved was John, and then Peter, James, and John were the ones that fall in the three. Then he had the 12, and then he had the crowds. And there is a much more intimate with the beloved, and then with the three, and then the disciples. You will hear more about Peter, James, and John than you will all the other disciples named out, because there is more of a reciprocation of the teaching process. Mm-hmm. So for onlookers, someone might say, Jesus showed favoritism. Mm-hmm. And my answer is no. Jesus interacted where the person was willing to be interacted with, where the heart was willing to be discipled. And oftentimes in our Christian circles, we can have serious conflict where people will begin to judge discipling relationships and say so-and-so is showing favoritism here or favoritism there, when in actuality, it is where the discipling is happening, a reciprocation is occurring, and so it is growing. And that is good, and that is holy. That's not favoritism. That's disciple-making at the finest. And what they should be jealous for is for the reciprocation process, and not be judging that it's favoritism, because that's how Jesus did it. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And so as I was studying and preparing this, and Catherine and I were discussing this as we're growing, because she is somebody that falls in the category as my disciple, because we've been discipling. I've been in this relationship 2 years, right? And so she has made a decision that she is done things with my family. She's gone to my teachings and my husband's teachings. She has done hospital visits with me. She's helped me clean the dirt in my house so that she just sees me as I'm hanging out, and has brought me to her church stuff and has brought me to her home. And so it's a reciprocation that has happened that goes both ways. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And so we're discussing this and thinking on it. And then when I saw this, I was like, wow. I hope Catherine comes to the radio this time so that she can see this, because it blew me away. This is what I guess I put together. It starts with a quote, and then I don't know where the quote ends and my writing begins, because I didn't clarify. But it's spurred on through David Guzik, which you guys know is one of my favorite commentators. He's at a German seminary. But I don't know if he's German or not. Having loved his own, there is a love Jesus has for all the people. And then there is a love for his own. It isn't that Jesus's love isn't different. But the dynamic of the love relationship is different. The love of Jesus for his own is greater because it has a response. And love answers love. I'm like,
love answers love. That's good.
Wow. I'm like, okay, God, let me think on that and let me be that. Because what he is doing with the 12 right here is he is showing how he is giving love. And that if they are going to respond appropriately, they're going to answer that with love. And that is what he is asking us to do. And so to be in fellowship in such a way that we answer love with love, be in that reciprocal aspects of it. And so I wrote this question out for myself. I'm like, do you answer Jesus's love with love? The love that he has given me on the cross, the love that he gave, that he so loved the world that he would give his only begotten son, that anyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Do I really recognize that love that he's given to the world that I might give that same kind of love? And this past week, I have been really intense in prayer. And I have found, it's crazy, when I have somebody that seeks me out in counseling for something, I'm going to confess two crazy aspects, but it's the challenge of growing and discipling. For example, during the school year, I had somebody that came to me, and the person's confession was, I cuss all the time. And it was really hard for this person to come and share this with me and was asking for wisdom on what to do. So we talked for an hour, a little over an hour, and we prayed and gave scripture, and I went home. I haven't had an issue with cussing in a long time. I said a wordy nerd. I'm like, God, where did that come from? You know, and here I had gone in and I had in love discipled, and then I was being challenged in it. And so I'm like, and then this week I was like, God, why does that happen? I had somebody that sought me out in counseling on anxiety in the last week and a half, and it's kind of been an ongoing conversation with this person. And I am not an anxious person. All last week, I was it's my first week, I should say, out of the summer where I actually didn't have, where I had a ton of things to do. And so I was able to have time where I was focused on God and in prayer, and God wouldn't let me get up from prayer. The anxiety, I couldn't define it, I couldn't explain it, I couldn't let it go. But I knew it had to do with my grace people. I prayed all week. I was praying for camps, I was praying for Boys and Girls Club, I was praying for those that were in VBSs, the ones that I knew where they were at, I was praying for them by name. And God was good. We saw people be saved, and some people, like Jess, text me to let me know somebody at her camp came to the Lord. And then Friday, it was hyper anxious. And Michaela's camp had to leave early because of flooding, and so they were rushing out and stuff. And unknown to me, Janelle was in a car accident on Friday. Friday night, about 6 o'clock, it was gone. Whatever it was that I was bearing all week, it was just like in a moment gone. And it's like I've been asking God to help me love my students in such a way that I pray for them. And when Janelle told me that her accident was on Friday, and then I knew of Michaela's camp and the things were happening, I'm like, God, she is so precious to us, to me, that it just humbled me that when I am willing to ask him to increase my love, that he will do it. And that sometimes what we think, like anxious thoughts, and I couldn't define it, I knew I wasn't in sin, that sometimes it's because God's prompting us out of his love to be praying. And I couldn't see it until after what he was having me do. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. It does.
Rob and I got back safe to grace at exactly 6 o'clock.
Okay.
Just so you know.
I did not know that. Okay. His love was to the end. Okay. That just killed me, Janelle. His love was to the end. And I don't know what that looks like for me. I don't know what that looks like for you. I just know that if Jesus loved us to the end, and he is the image of what we're to be an image bearer, who am I not to love? And my self-centeredness, my pride, I think I should be doing what I want when I want, or my spirit of judgment, or my spirit of jealousy, or God forbid, a spirit of hatred or anger or bitterness, and how it can rob me of the joy of the gift of giving love and being the servant. Why would I want to lose that? And so when I saw to the end, I'm like, okay, what does that mean? And Guzik summed it up so beautifully. And I want us to just dwell here for the rest of our time. We may go into Peter's thoughts, though. Thoughtless speech. He said, Jesus loved his own, but not yet to the end. It was to the full extent, to the limit, to the uttermost. We got to understand, full extent, to the limit, uttermost. And I thought of the uttermost, highest. Now I know why Oswald did that. Mm. To the end represents the earthly life, physically on earth. All of the disciples, and I think Jessica caught this in the first session. You can go back and listen to this. All of the disciples were fighting over who's the greatest. But instead of focusing in on himself and what's happening tomorrow, Jesus was all about serving them and taking care of the mud on their feet. Mm-hmm. And so he could have been thinking, guys, I just need to get away from you. You guys are out of whack. I just need to remove myself. But instead, he was there. And so he was there with them on the earthly realm. He thought of them first. I have a lot to learn. The second one was to the end. Guzik says, it means his love will never end. It never ends. Somebody out there needs to hear God's love never ends. So what you think is a sin that is unforgivable, God's love never ends. God's love never ends. It's forgiven at the cross. You just need to believe in the gift you've been given. The third one he said was to the end. He says some translations use to the uttermost. And he's like, what is the uttermost for you? What is uttermost to the end? What might that look like? And so thinking through how to love in that way. For Jesus, it was with Satan, and that's where he goes into how Satan was cultivating Judas's heart from the very beginning. And then it hit me, and I'd never in my life seen this before. But when Jesus broke the bread, he handed the bread, the broken bread, to the one that was going to give the bread of life over to be broken. I can't believe I'd never caught that before. And I'm like, that's uttermost. So whoever is our enemy, being willing to give ourselves to them, to allow ourselves to be broken for them to know Jesus. Now in America, for the most part, that doesn't mean a whole lot, because we don't really have where we've reached that level of persecution. But in other nations, those that are listening, you know the reality of that truth. I can only pray that America gets it when the time happens. When we need to get it, we get it right. But we'll see. So what are you guys' our thoughts on the to the end?
Love how it talks about loving your own to the end, that one thing that characterized the early church was that they took care of those that were in the church really well, and that they loved others like they loved the world around them as well, but they took care of those that were in their fellowship. And I think so often as the church, we focus on outreach so much and we neglect some of those that are within our borders. And so we need to do a good job at loving those around us, loving those that are close to us, as well as loving those that are far out there too.
That's good, Jess. That's good. Anybody else?
I think like what you were saying with having the core group of people that you invest in the most, it's such a difficult balance to walk, because it's easy to love those that love you. It's not easy to love those that are harder to love, or that show resistance, or that are going to betray you. But even though Christ answered the questions of those that that needed more answers, or that sought his love more, he didn't neglect any of those that sought him, and he didn't neglect those that even were going to reject him. He poured into them and gave them the same service that he gave to those who loved him.
Mm. You know, true. Tori, who was on the radio with us last month, and Israel and I were having this conversation, and he's like, you just love so well, or whatever. And I said, Tori, that means nothing when it comes to you because you're an easy person to love. Now, if you were difficult and I loved you so well, then it would probably speak a lot louder about my love, whatever. But in that conversation, we started talking about how we look at people and examining our heart as we examine people. And he said when he interacts with people, he tries to find a way to help them see themselves the way Jesus sees them. Mm-hmm. And I've always tried to help people see how Scripture, how they can connect to Scripture and all, but just something in the way he said it, that really convicted my heart. And I'm like, you know what? That's a mantle I'm going to take from you. I'm going to start asking God to help me to help people to see Jesus the way
he sees them.
Jesus sees them.
I pray that a lot when I just come upon somebody that's difficult, or please let me see what you love about them.
Right.
You know.
Right. It's good. All right. Anybody else?
I love how you said, what was it? Love responds to love. Mm-hmm. And especially with difficult people to love, or just even in general. We see it with Jesus that he knew, I would say he knew the love of the Father, and he was able to love. And I think it's the same way for us. Like, if we aren't receiving his love or knowing his love, we can't respond in love to other people because we don't have it in us.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and going off of that, like, when you see the quote, love responds to love, your first thought might be, it's talking about a loving person, and then that it's easy to love a loving person, but someone who's not loving, mm-hmm. you're like, well, love responds to love. They're not loving me, so my love's not responding. But then you're forgetting that you have to be the love right. to cause their love to respond.
Yeah. Right.
Mm, that's good. We have only about 40 seconds left. I've loved having my loves here on the radio. So today, I guess the challenge we're going to ask you guys, based on what Jesus did at the Lord's Supper and how he loved the disciples and washing their feet, one, ask you to receive and believe in the love that God has for you. And then two, challenge you to give love, because the world does not know, and they will know him through our love. And they will answer love when they receive love. So may we all go forth and love and answer his love with our love. In Jesus' name, amen.